Welcome to the Bible Insights podcast with your host, Val Waldick. We've been doing a bird's eye view of the book of Revelation, and we're coming to the end of our studies. We have this one and then one more, and that will complete the book. I want to remind you that the Bible says that you are very blessed if you take notice of this book. Revelation chapter 1 verse 3 says, "Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and keep the things which are written in it, for the time is near." The Lord is coming back very, very, very soon. Last week we looked at the Great White Throne Judgment, and today we're asking the question, what happens after the Great White Throne Judgment? And that is our future unveiled. We're going into eternity now. We're looking at the new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem, and Revelation chapters 21 to 22 verse 5 talks about that. The first thing we notice in Revelation chapter 21 verse 1 is that our contaminated solar system will get a makeover, and it certainly needs a makeover. There is so much stuff happening in our solar system. John writes in his book and he says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away," and he adds, "and there was no more sea." All those Sputniks and things that are flying around in the solar system are all going to be destroyed. In 2 Chronicles chapter 2 verse 6, we read these words, "But who is able to build him a temple, since the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain him? Who am I then that I should build him a temple except to burn sacrifice before him?" Here the scripture talks about the heaven and the heaven of heavens. There are three heavens in the Bible. First of all, there's the atmospheric heaven. This is the place of the stars and the planets. If you go outside at night and you look towards the heaven, you will see the atmospheric heaven. That is the first heaven. And beyond that is outer space. That's where all those Sputniks and satellites go, into outer space beyond our atmospheric heaven. And finally, we get to the heaven of heavens, where the throne of God is located. The Bible prophesies that these three are destined to merge into one in the future. And of course, no more sea. John said, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and also there was no more sea." Sorry for you fishermen, no more fishing in heaven. So we have our universe, and that we call the sky. Then we have outer space, and then we have the third heaven at this present time. There's going to be one cosmos, one universe, united under one Lord forever and forever. What a revelation that is. At the center of the universe will be the New Jerusalem, our home forever. John talks about that in Revelation chapter 21 verses 1 to 4. He says, "Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband." It's a beautiful, beautiful city. "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.'" The Lord said he's going to destroy this earth. He's going to destroy these heavens. He's going to make a new heaven. He's going to combine the whole atmospheric heaven, outer space, and the third heaven where the throne is into one. He's going to combine them into one, and at the very center will be a special holy city called the New Jerusalem, a beautiful, beautiful city, and the Lord says he's going to put his throne right in that city, and he's going to be dwelling with his people. So today I want to give us seven facts about the New Jerusalem, which is going to be our eternal home. Number one, the New Jerusalem is a magnificent place filled with the glory of God. Revelation 21 verses 10 and 11 says, "And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven." It's coming out of the third heaven, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. When God merges these three heavens, he's bringing his very throne right into the center of this one almighty universe. What a day that's going to be. It's a glorious, glorious city. There's going to be no need for temples, no need for churches, and also no need for the sun, moon, and stars. they too will disappear. God will destroy them as well, because he's going to be the light of this wonderful, merged, new universe that encompasses all of his creation. We read about that in Revelation 21, verses 22 to 27. John says, "But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day, there shall be no night there, and there shall by no means enter anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." What a wonderful, sin-free, evil-free place this is going to be. It's a glorious and pure place. The New Jerusalem is situated in the country of heaven. Nothing impure, Revelation 21:27, nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, only the born-again believers, together with God's angels, will be in this wonderful, wonderful place. Believers who have gone ahead are waiting in paradise in the country of heaven. Do you remember what the Lord said to the thief on the cross? He said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Remember the story about the rich man and Lazarus? The rich man died and he opened up his eyes in hell. Lazarus was taken by the angels. He died and he opened his eyes in paradise. And so believers who have gone before are in paradise, and they're waiting for the day of the rapture. Their bodies are resurrected from the ground, the first resurrection, reunited with their spirits, and we meet the Lord and we change together with him. And after the millennial reign of Christ and after the great white throne judgment, God is going to give this whole of his creation a makeover, and we are going to be with him forever. How do we know that the dead are with the Lord in paradise? That 2 Corinthians 5 verse 8 says we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. The atoms that make up our bodies will stay here until the day of the first resurrection when we meet the Lord. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. You see, death is the doorway to paradise and ultimately to the New Jerusalem for believers. Philippians 1:21-23, Paul writes, he says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But," he says, "if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. If I live a little longer, that means that I can really win souls for Jesus. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell." He said, "If you ask me whether I want to go to heaven or stay," he said, "I'm hard pressed between the two. I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better. But I need to stay for the sake of the Church of Jesus Christ." So heaven is a glorious, wonderful place. Heaven, number two, is a real place. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 2 to 4, and many Bible scholars believe that he's speaking about himself and an experience he had with the Lord. He writes this, he says, "I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a man was caught up to the third heaven. He was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words which is not lawful for a man to utter." This person saw something so magnificent when he was caught up the third heaven where the throne of God was that he can't even begin to describe it. Abram knew about that as well. He longed for the New Jerusalem. Hebrews 11:10, Abram waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He knew about the New Jerusalem. And so do believers of all ages. The Holy Spirit witnesses within us. And Hebrews 11 verse 16 says, "Now we desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called the God, for he has prepared a city for them." The Lord has been working on the city for a long time, the glorious New Jerusalem, where we shall live forever. Remember what the Lord said in John chapter 14 verses 1 to 3? He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." And he says, "I go to prepare a place for you." The Lord is busy preparing that heavenly city, the New Jerusalem, for us. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. He's coming back in the rapture, he said, to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. A lot of people have asked, where is heaven? Some people say it's up. But the truth is, heaven is located in a certain place. And Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13 tells us about it. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the furthest sides of the north. Psalm 48 verse 2 says, beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Heaven is north. It's a real place. Thirdly, we know that the New Jerusalem will be our eternal dwelling place forever and forever. Believers now are waiting in paradise, but soon after the rapture, after the millennial reign of Christ, after the great white throne judgment, when God makes a new heaven and a new earth and merges all three heavens and the new Jerusalem comes, that will be our dwelling place for eternity. Psalm 23 verse 6, a beloved psalm. David wrote this. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and afterwards I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord has a wonderful future for us. Where's this new Jerusalem? It's in the very heart of heaven, the third heaven, where the throne of God is. Revelation 22 verse 3 tells us something about it. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, right there in the new Jerusalem. And his servants shall serve him right there in the new Jerusalem. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There's going to be no more separation between the Lord and us. We will see him face to face, and we will be completely fulfilled in that day. Psalm 17, verse 15. As for me, I will see your face in righteousness, and I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. Psalm 73, verse 25 tells us that we will be totally satisfied in heaven. You know, there are some people who are never satisfied with anything. They always think there's something better. Well, I can tell you this, folks, when you get to heaven, there's nothing better. You're going to be totally and completely satisfied. Whom have I in heaven, says the psalmist, but you? And there is none on earth that I desire beside you. I'm going to be completely satisfied. What is heaven going to be like? Are we going to float around on little wispy clouds, playing harps and singing songs? Psalm 16 verse 11 says, no, we're going to experience ultimate joy and pleasure. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. Ever you've experienced joy on this earth, it will fade into insignificance with the joy that awaits us when we see the Lord and when we finally come to that place, the heavenly Jerusalem, where we're going to spend eternity. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Number five, we will be fully and absolutely alive there. Revelation 21 verse 4, the Lord says, I promise you this, I'm going to wipe away every tear from your eyes. There's going to be no more death, no more death in heaven, no more death in the New Jerusalem, no more sorrow. Folks, no more crying, no more tears. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Many people have asked this question, will we recognize others and will we be recognized by them? 1 Corinthians 13 verse 12 answers that. We see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, just as I also am known. We will recognize each other. We will know each other and we'll know them and recognize them. We will be absolutely alive and well in heaven. Mark chapter 12 verses 26 to 27 talks about those who've gone on. Mark writes, he says, but concerning the dead, that they rise. Have you not read in the book of Moses in the burning bush passage how God spoke to him saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He's not the God of the dead. But he's the God of the living. Folks, your beloved ones who've gone on ahead of you, they are not dead. They're not sleeping in the grave. God is not the God of the dead, but he's the God of the living. They're with him right now in paradise. And one day we shall all be together in that beautiful city, the New Jerusalem, where we will spend eternity. Right now we have an earthly suit, but one day God is going to give us a heavenly suit that will suit us for eternity and for paradise. Our earthly bodies are going to be changed into heavenly bodies. We're going to get resurrection bodies. 1 Corinthians 15 verses 51 and 52. Paul writes, he says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. All of us are not going to die. Some of us will be here when the Lord comes. Some of the church, when he comes and we meet him in air, we're not all going to die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." This is a scripture about the rapture. Trumpet's going to sound, that last trumpet. We'll receive our resurrection bodies at the same time. Another question people ask, what are we going to do in heaven? What are we going to do for eternity? Well, number six, heaven is a place of activity. We know that the angels are very, very busy. They have a lot of work to do. They're very busy here on earth with the heirs of salvation. They're very busy in heaven, worshipping God and carrying out his commandments and working for him. And Luke chapter 16, verse 22 tells us about the rich man and Lazarus. When the beggar died, it says, he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. That's paradise. The rich man also died and was buried. When a believer dies, the angels come and they carry him right into paradise. Isn't that wonderful? You're not going to get lost in this great, mighty universe on your way to the third heaven. You're not going to get lost because the angels are going to escort you right into paradise. What a wonderful day that's going to be. The Lord says in Matthew chapter 18, verse 10, something more about the angels' activity. "Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." Everybody has got angels caring for them, particularly the children, the little ones, and their angels are always reporting back to the Father about what's happening to these little ones. And that's why the Lord says, if someone hurts a little one, one of God's little children, if someone hurts them, it would be better for them if a millstone was hung around their necks and they were drowned in the sea, or even that they had never been born. Because God cares for the children. He loves little children. Well, heaven is a place of activity, not only for the angels, but for believers. It's a place of vibrant worship. Revelation 7:9-11 tells us, John says, "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number. He had a look into heaven. All the nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb.' And all the angels stood around the throne, and the elders, and the four living creatures, and everybody fell on their faces before the throne, and they worshipped God." It's a place of vibrant activity. But is that all that we'll be doing in heaven? Just singing and worshipping God? Number six, heaven is a place of activity where the redeemed are also very, very busy. God is a creator, and his saints will be very busy working for him in his creation. Matthew 25:21, the Lord says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things." The Lord says, if you're faithful now in the small things that he's asked you to do, maybe running a home cell for him, maybe putting flowers in your local church, maybe giving somebody a lift, whatever it is that God's called you to do, he will say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant. If you're faithful over these few things I've given you to do now, I'm going to make you ruler over many things." And maybe some of you are sighing right now and saying, "Listen, I'm very tired working. I'm working very hard here on earth. Do I really have to work hard in heaven?" Yes, God's got lots for you to do in heaven. But it's going to be wonderful to work for the Lord. Because he goes on to say in verse 21, "Enter into the joy of your Lord." It's going to be a privilege and a wonderful thing to serve the Lord in heaven in our resurrection body that doesn't get tired. "There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. And listen to this, and they shall reign forever and forever." Revelation 22 verses 4 and 5. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 12 picks up the same theme. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. But if we deny him, he also will deny us. Folks, even when we appear before the judgment seat of Christ, as we've discussed, we will receive rewards or lose rewards for the way that we lived our lives here on earth. There are many things that God has got planned for us, wonderful, magnificent, creative things. But if we live silly lives here on earth, if we're sloppy and we don't serve the Lord in the way that he wants us to serve him, we could lose some rewards. And there'll be things God planned for us in heaven that we won't be able to do. Now is the time to serve him with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, because our rewards in heaven will open many doors for us. We're being trained to reign. This time on earth is a time when God is training us to reign. We read that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5. Now he who has prepared for us this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. God says we're being trained to reign. We must do our very best to serve him and be obedient to him. And the Holy Spirit within us is his guarantee that we're going to make it to eternity. And I want to say this to you. Number 7. Heaven will exceed our wildest dreams. If you've ever thought, what can heaven be like? If you've ever read books about heaven or heard people speaking about heaven, heaven is going to be more wonderful than we have ever thought of or dreamed about. Heaven is going to exceed our wildest dreams. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9, but as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. It's a wonderful place. Revelation 21 verses 4 and 5, he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Folks, we have a great future. Don't ever think about giving up. Keep on keeping on, because the future is worth more than anything you could ever dream or imagine. Revelation 3 verse 12, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. What a wonderful, wonderful promise. We have a great future ahead of us. And so I want to say again, keep on keeping on. Don't give up. 1 John 3 verses 2 and 3, beloved, now we are the children of God, but it hasn't yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Keep on keeping on, because Jesus is coming back again. He's coming back very soon. He who testifies to these things says, surely I'm coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Revelation chapter 22 verse 20. Tune in next week as we complete our study of the book of Revelation. And remember to visit my website for more information, thewaldick.com.